Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 75, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. O Lord, to Thee I cry. Thou art my rock and trust. O be not silent, lest I die and slumber in the dust. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 75. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 21, the first 8 verses, but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day, and that Isaac was weaned. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning both Reverend Moons and Reverend Karens in the Netherlands who have lost together their grandchild. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it has pleased Thee in this morning hour to bring us again into Thy house of prayer, making an outward separation, an outward distinction of Thy blessings and of Thy mercies bestowed unto us, which Thou withholdest from others. And there is nothing in us, O Lord, Thou knowest, there is nothing in us that maketh us to differ from them. It is alone Thy sovereign choice. It is alone Thy doing that Thou makest a difference where there is no difference. Oh, that it may in this morning so humble our wretched and our proud hearts. There is, O Lord, nothing from our side and that is able to bring us in that place where we are required to come by Thee. That is in the dust of self-abasement at Thy footstool. There is nothing that we can decide to do. There is nothing that we can bring forth in our own strength, whereby Thou art receiving glory and honor. For we are wretched creatures that have chosen rather to seek our own deep independence and to seek the honor ourselves. But Thou art a jealous God, and Thy honor Thou wilt not give unto others. Lord, it is Thy work, the work of Thy Holy Spirit, to lay a man low and to bring us in dust and in ashes before Thee. And this, Lord, we beseech of Thee in this morning hour, that in the first place we may be brought into the right place, even as we attempt to speak to Thee, to draw nigh to Thee, to acknowledge who that Thou art unto us, in an outward way showering us with blessing after blessing, so that there is nothing lacking of all that our soul desires here below. Lord, we cannot glorify, we cannot magnify, we cannot exalt Thee in our hearts, and we cannot do it in our lives. We are but superficial creatures, having a natural life, and of ourselves no spiritual life. Nothing deeper than our emotions and the affections of our flesh. But there is no life in our souls. O Lord, who art the God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who art the God of life and of death, Thou who art able to speak the word only, and we shall be renewed, we shall be healed, we shall be given new life. Oh, could it please thee to do so in this morning hour, that also this hour, wherein we are separated for a small time from all the things of this world, this hour, which thou hast instituted in thy own sovereign good pleasure, oh, that this hour may be an hour of thy good pleasure from that never begun eternity. O Lord, could it please thee to take even, could it be but one in this morning hour in the midst of us, and to so touch the heart, to break it down before thee, to humble it before thee, and that thou may bring a person, young or old, to thy blessed footstool in a way wherein they must confess, I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. Oh, that that cry may come forth out of that pit wherein we have brought ourselves for help and for salvation. Lord, that is only thy work. We may read it time again in thy holy word, but it is a work so necessary that thou may receive the glory and the honor, that there may come room for thy only begotten Son, that his name may become suitable, precious, necessary in our own heart and life. And Lord, wilt thou therefore do it for thy own great name's sake unto us and our dear children, that all the blessings and the mercies bestowed may not testify against us in that great day of days. O, do instruct each one of thy own children, whom thou knowest from eternity, and whose place thou also knowest in this very morning hour. Thou knowest the cases of conscience. Thou knowest the despondency that there can be, the disappointments with themselves, and the desires, the longings, and also the deadness and the coldness. O, thou art over everything, and thou who knowest thy own people, we beseech thee that thou may also show that thou dwellest in the midst of us as a congregation when thou comest to visit thy own people and to lift up the hands that hang down and to strengthen the feeble knees, that they may be enabled to go forward in the mishak of this life, yep, a little further upon the journey that leads to that everlasting life, a journey that goes along a way that becomes narrower and narrower, wherein everything needs to be set aside, wherein that people may be given more and more to see that there is but one rock and that there is but one salvation. Oh, that his name, Lord, that it may become ever more precious in their sight, and that thou would exalt him as the way, the truth, and the life, even in the midst of us as a congregation. Wilt thou go before us then this day? Oh, that the services that are held in this thy house, and also the other part of our congregation, also our sister congregations in this area and also those that are farther away. Lord, may Thou supply for us. May Thou increase the number of Thy people. Oh, build up Thy kingdom from amongst us and our dear children. Though we have sinned against Thee days without number, and though we have left Thee, oh, that Thou would return, and that Thou would do wonders from Thy own side, for which we may magnify Thee eternally. Lord, remember therefore all Thy servants that are truly sent by Thee over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Also, two of Thy servants, as we have heard in this morning, that have lost a grandchild. Lord, wilt Thou strengthen them in this day, in the bringing forth of Thy word, but also the parents and the family together. And wilt Thou instruct them and us in the ways of the Lord that go so often through the sea, that we are not able to know, but Lord, they lead to one end. Oh, that Thou may then remember all that are afflicted, those that are sick and not able to be with us in Thy house in this morning. Wilt Thou remember each one of them in their places in this day, whether it be in the hospital or in their own homes. Wilt Thou give a blessing out of Thy heavenly store? Thou art not bound to time or to place. And Lord, Thou art everywhere present, and Thy Spirit that is able to go from heart to heart. Oh, that Thou may do so also in this morning hour. Oh, we can only seek it of Thee. It can never come from us. And Lord, we must confess that we do not deserve it, that our sin continues to testify against us. For could it please Thee to look upon the merits of Thy only begotten Son, and to wash and to cleanse us from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, that so we may be in Thy sight, in Thy dear Son, without spot and without wrinkle, and so acceptable unto Thee, to be received into Thy blessed communion, that will begin already by moments here below. O Lord, wilt Thou do so in our midst in this morning, that something of that blessed communion with Thee may be felt and may be experienced within our hearts. O, that we may be given to say that the Lord indeed does dwell among us, that there may be fruit in this morning upon this simple word that we hope to try to lay before our congregation. Lord, Thou knowest what we stand in need of, for the body, for the mind, but also we need to be instructed from above. But oh, may that great wonder that Thou hearest, that Thou givest, that Thou hearest, and that Thou answerest prayer, that this great wonder may be magnified in our hearts in this morning hour, that it may cause our heart to go out to Thee. Wilt Thou forgive all that is sinful, and wilt Thou keep us from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment, do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. 1, 3 and 4 of Psalter 389.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion read to you, Genesis 21, and thereof the first verse, Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So far, the words of our text. Faith helped by the consideration of the Lord's faithfulness. First, looking back. Second, looking forward. Faith helped by the consideration of the Lord's faithfulness. First, looking back. Second, looking forward. In our text, congregation, we have a repetition. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Thus, two times, and the Lord says the same thing. Thus, that is worthy of our attention, just that it, as it is when we with men in this world will repeat ourselves. The Lord speaks even by the very repetition that he makes. And what does the Lord say with a repetition? The Lord says, pause for a moment. The Lord says, consider for a moment what I say here. And therefore, we thought also this morning to just pause for a moment at this first verse. The Lord makes a repetition. Why? Why is that necessary that the Lord repeats himself? That is not necessary for the history that the Lord would say this two times over. Then he need only write it down once to say that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. No, it is not necessary for the history, but repetition is something that is often used for persuasion. And who needs to be persuaded? Everyone who does not believe. That is so with us, parents, teachers. And when we think that our children do not believe what we say, then we will repeat ourselves to be sure that they heard it, and hopefully when we repeat ourselves, then they feel that we mean also what we say. And thus it is also with the Lord, that he is often repeating himself, verily, verily, or he is saying something in different words, the same thing two times over. And what is that that the Lord will persuade with the words of our text? That is something so very high. That is something so very precious. That is something that is so very dear to that true church. But will the Lord persuade by these words? He will persuade of his own faithfulness. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken.
What does the Lord say with this? The Lord says with this, what I speak and what I say, that is something that shall so certainly be performed. It is impossible that what the Lord speaks, what the Lord says, does not come to fruition, is not performed in this life. It is impossible. Why? Because that is an inconsistency in God Himself. And that is impossible.
But congregation, who does the Lord have to deal with in this world? He has to deal in the first place with unbelievers. And he has to deal in the second place with those who are weak in faith. And therefore it is often making repetition necessary from that side of the Lord. We have the wicked, and the wicked will not believe him. There are amongst the wicked the reprobate, and the reprobate do not need to be persuaded. No, the Lord is not laboring to persuade them. They are fitted unto destruction, we read. But then their lie here and there also among the wicked, also the elect. And those must be persuaded. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord to persuade. Then he does not force men into his kingdom. No, but he will give them a new heart, a heart that is persuaded. He will draw their heart. Thus, necessary for the wicked, necessary also for God's church. For them, it is even more necessary that there be repetition. Why? Because they cannot believe. Therefore, there are four gospels. The Lord says that four times over again. Out of the mouth of his witnesses concerning the coming of his only begotten Son, concerning the love of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost unto his elect. Four times over again. Why? Oh, for the sake of those who cannot believe. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. One day, congregation, our name, your name, and my name is also going to come in the place of this name of Sarah. So that this is going to be said about each and every one personally in this whole world. As sure as it was for Sarah, that the Lord would do as he had spoken, that the Lord would visit as he had said, as sure as that was for Sarah, so sure is that also for you and for me, because God is unchangeable. But now that word visit, the Lord visited Sarah, is a word in the scripture that has two sides. It has a negative side, and it has a positive side. We can read that the Lord is visiting in His judgments, and that the Lord is visiting with His blessings. That the Lord is visiting in His anger, and that the Lord is visiting in His mercy. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Is that now the only incident that we read of in the Word of God for our instruction? In that faithfulness of the Lord to His own Word, what He said and what He spoke? No, there are many incidences in the Word of God where we may see this faithful hand of the Lord. The Lord also visited Adam as He had said. And the Lord also did unto Adam as He had spoken. Did He not, children? What did the Lord say? Oh, sometimes your father and your mother, they say, but they do not always do. What did the Lord say to Adam? He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord did not only say it, but we read that the Lord also did it. The Lord visited the first world also, as He had said. And He did unto them as He had spoken. It is true, it did not come for a long time. For 120 years, the Lord continued to spare them. But in the end, the Lord did unto that first world as He had spoken. The Lord visited Sodom as He said. And the Lord did unto them as He had spoken. The Lord visited His people Israel as He had said, and He did unto them as He had spoken. And He said to them, what? When you will serve the idols, when you will walk after this world, when you will want to do as all the other nations, who do not have a God as you have, then I will give you over into the hand of your enemies. And it is true. It took a long time. Oh, it took so long until that sin of that people was engraven also in the hearts and in the lives of their children and their grandchildren. But in the end, that vision spake. And the Lord visited the children of Israel as He had said. And He did unto them as He had spoken. That is on the one side. Now we read the other side. That the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And He did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Though she laughed, though she didn't believe it, though she lied, after He had spoken, after He had said, and yet He visited. And yet He did. What does it say? It says the Lord. It says Jehovah. Jehovah visited Sarah. Jehovah did unto Sarah. And this is the reason that it did not depend upon Sarah, but the Lord visited Sarah and did unto Sarah because of his own holy name's sake. What do we read in the Word of God? Oh, so the Lord did also unto the children of Abraham, that the Lord visited them as he had said. And the Lord did unto the children of Abraham as he had spoken. It is true. It took many years. It is true. The Lord left them until the water came unto their lips. It is true. And they were left over into the hands of their enemies. So they thought every day that the Lord had forsaken them, and that the Lord did not speak unto their father Abraham. And yet, the time came. That certain time came. That sure time came. That the Lord visited the children of Israel as he had said. And that the Lord did unto the children of Israel as he had spoken. Hezekiah trembled, Rabshakeh all about him, and then mocking. He had no strength against all that great company that came against him. What did the Lord do? The Lord spoke to him. Said Hezekiah, they shall not come into this city. Hezekiah, they shall not shoot one arrow in that city. Then that time came that the Lord visited Hezekiah as he had said, and that the Lord did unto Hezekiah as he himself had spoken. And he sent but one angel from heaven to slay 185,000 that were standing under the command of that mocking mouth. Congregation, the world that has mocked throughout the ages, especially concerning the deliverance of that true people of God. And yet, what do we find? Time after time, that the Lord is fulfilling his own word to the very letter. The height of famine, what did the Lord do? He spoke. He said, tomorrow, shekel of fine flour, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Two measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel. What did the enemy do? Mocked. Can that happen? Impossible. God would open a window in heaven, still would not be possible. And yet, God visited his people as he had said. Congregation, it is such a simple word. The Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. But what a precious word for the true people of the Lord. And what a warning word for the wicked. The birth of Isaac, that was a type of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin Advent then 1 week early. Oh, what did that man, Zacharias, sing when even the forerunner of the Lord Jesus was born in this world? Oh, he says, the Lord hath visited and redeemed his people. The birth of that Son of God himself, that was an answer, the fulfillment of a promise. It is true, took a long time. When was that promise first spoken? It was first spoken already in paradise to our first parents. It was spoken 4,000 years before, took a long time. And the devil, he has tried everything to bring that promise of the Lord to nothing. But he could not prevent it. Why not? Because it was said by Jehovah. Because it was spoken by Jehovah. Congregation, why? Why are all these fulfillments of that spoken word of the Lord, why are they recorded in that holy word of God? That will be for the conversion of the elect. It will be for the strengthening of his own people. It will be for the greater damnation of the reprobate. What is it going to be for us that the Lord records in his holy word time after time that he fulfills what he speaks? You see that in our second thought, looking forward, because not everything that has been spoken by the Lord in his word is yet fulfilled. There is more. There is much that is written in that holy word of God that is lying for you and for me in the future. That is concerning this world, concerning the creation, concerning the universe, that the Lord writes that the heavens, they are going to be rolled up as a scroll. That the Lord writes that the elements, what this world is made of, that is going to melt with a fervent heat that is now lying in the future. There are things that are said concerning the human race, of which you and I are a part, that are still lying in the future. That is, the resurrection of the dead, and that final judgment. There are things that are written in that holy word of God about you and me as individuals that are still lying in the future. Death. And to appear before God. It is true. They may be miracles. It is true. There are things that you and I are not able to comprehend. It is true that many things may be misinterpreted by men. It is true, they are long in coming. The fulfillment of these promises. But they have been spoken. They have been said. Not by men. But they have been said by God. The same now as it was in the past, so that is also when we will look into the future. Every single word that the Lord has said, every single word that the Lord has spoken, is certain to be fulfilled. Thus, that day is coming when it will be said of every single one of us that the Lord visited him, her, as he said. And that the Lord did unto him, her, as he had spoken. Does man believe it? We are no different than it ever was. Even with all the examples that you and I may have in that holy word of God, how is it with us? We do not have to ask what your thoughts are because the Lord records our thoughts in the Word of God. And he says that our thoughts are, our houses shall continue for a, and our dwelling places to all generations, that those are our thoughts. And Peter writes about scoffers. They are coming in the last days. We may be sure that we live in them. Scoffers that say, where is the promise of his coming? That is, where is the fulfillment of that promise of his coming? Takes so long. Everything continues as it was from the beginning of the creation. And then Peter says, this they are willingly ignorant of. And then he speaks about the flood. And why does he say this in his word? He says this in his word. He says to stir up unto remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words, he says, that have been spoken by the prophets. To be mindful of their words. Why to be mindful of the words of the prophets? Because those words of the prophets are the word of God. Thus, how does the Lord speak unto men? We read, the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Well, we know how that the Lord visited Sarah and spoke to Sarah, and how that the Lord spoke to Abraham. We can read in the Old Testament how the Lord spoke in those days to his people. Directly, by visions, by dreams. How does the Lord speak today? The Lord speaks in the first place what we call objectively. That is, the Lord speaks in his holy word. That is his speaking. Congregation, children, when you open the Bible, then you read what the Lord speaks. Do you believe this? Every word
that is written in the Holy Scriptures is certain to be fulfilled, as certain as God is true. Thus, God is speaking through His Word. What we read, we have a more sure word of prophecy unto which you do well to take heed. To take heed. Because every word shall be fulfilled. Thus the Lord speaks objectively through His Word. But the Lord also speaks subjectively. The Lord also speaks in the heart of His people for the salvation, for the comfort of His church. The Lord also brings His Word with power in the heart of His people. And what is now the objective word which the Lord has is speaking unto each one of us. That is two things. Two things whereof we must say in this morning are going to come true for everyone. Say ye to the righteous, the Lord says, it shall be well with you. And woe, He says, unto the wicked. It shall be ill with you. That is now the word that the Lord says to us. That is now the word which the Lord speaks to you and to me. Those words apply to each and every one of us. The one or the other. But who are the righteous? Before the fall, Adam was righteous. How different that it became through that fall. What does the Lord say today? He says there are none righteous. No, He says, not one. Therefore, there is but one thing that we each must apply to ourselves out of that holy word of God, that is woe. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with you. Woe is what the Lord says of every natural man that still lies dead in sins and in trespasses. Woe is what the Lord says to every one of us when we are still lying polluted in our own blood. Woe is the promise, woe is the threat to everyone who continues in his rebellion against God. Woe, that is the promise, that is the threat to everyone who refuses to ask, who refuses to seek, who refuses to knock at His door. That woe, the Lord declares over and over and over again in His Word. He repeats it. Why? That He may convince us of our lost state, of our lost condition. Why? That we may believe it, that we may turn from our vain ways, that we may seek His face. And this is that woe that the Lord is sanctifying in His own time. To make a man say, woe is me. I am undone. For I am a man of
unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Congregation, oh, was that woe ever sanctified unto you? Person then sees, person then believes the truth of the Word of God. He then believes he is indeed wicked. Indeed, then he believes that it is not well with him. Indeed, then he believes he has to die and he has to stand before God. Then he believes that it is really true that God is going to visit me as he said, that he is going to do unto me as he has spoken. Religion, congregation, is more than notion. This is the objective word of God applied subjectively to the heart of his people. And then a man cannot come out from under that word of God. Does he not see anything else in that word? Is that all he sees? Does he not see another side? Does he not also see that it shall be well with the righteous? Oh yes. Certainly he sees that too. But this does not apply to him. Why not? Because he is not righteous. The opposite. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That is now people who do not dare to lift up their eyes unto heaven, but who only may cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And then, all those objective promises in that holy word of God, they are for other people. The promise of the blessings, the promises to the righteous, oh, they are for God's people. What do that people need? They need congregation to hear it from the mouth of the Lord. They need that word be subjectively applied also unto their own heart. Let us sing Psalter 143, 1, 2, and 3. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. Oh, wash me wholly from my guilt and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess. I ever see my sin. 143, 1, 2, and 3.
And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Congregation, as long as the Lord says nothing, then we also believe nothing. At least not with that true saving faith that we heard of last week. But when the Lord says, "Thou art the man," then we will believe it. Then we become indeed the guilty one. And what becomes so necessary in the life of that people, that the Lord also says something else. This they cannot do without. It is not sufficient that God's people say it. It is not sufficient that God's servants say it. It is not sufficient that they may read it objectively in the Word of God. No, the Lord must speak it. The Lord must say it unto their soul. Is that true for you too? How does the Lord so speak? The Lord speaks by His Word. The Lord speaks by His Spirit. The Lord makes room in the heart of His church for His Word. That when He speaks, it is always an answer to a great need within. The Lord is bringing that Word of the Lord home with power to their soul, so that they experience it in all of its sweetness and its suitability also for their own case, that it is fit for them in a personal way. Thus the Lord is bringing everything along, our Father said, when He comes. Also faith to receive it and faith to believe it. But where does then that cry of David come when we read, "O Lord, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope"? That is now the pleading of God's servant, not upon the objective word of God, but it is the pleading of God's servant upon that word that he has applied even unto his own soul. That he pleads with the Lord to remember that word, just as if the Lord has forgotten that word. And how often is this not the case with his people? As it was with Abraham. As it was with Sarah for many years. And then we heard that the Lord even cut off that prayer. So hopeless it can become. Is that so for you too? That they did not even pray for that real blessing of the Lord anymore. And what did the Lord have to do to renew that supplication? The Lord had to speak again. And the Lord did speak again. Sarah shall have a son. Thus the Lord comes in all the impossibilities, and he promises a wonder so great that of themselves they cannot even receive it. That requires a faith greater than the people possess in themselves, because of a wonder of such a great magnitude. And yet, congregation, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. This is what we read in our text. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Is that not so simple? Is that not so simple? It is the Almighty power of God in answer to his own promise. It came to pass. It came to pass even when the Lord has to overcome all the laws of nature wherein man is generated in this world. Still it comes to pass. When it is impossible for Sarah, then the Lord will give strength to Sarah in her old age, both to conceive and to bear. Paul says that she may conceive by faith. Congregation, is there a people that are not able to believe anymore? Though the Lord has spoken, or at least you thought that the Lord had spoken, and you had spoken about it also unto others, and you had hoped upon it also for many years, but now you have to cast it away? Is it indeed true that it has come out of that holy word of God? Is that then indeed true that it has come to you in your great need and in all your impossibility from your own sight? Did the Lord speak his word to you with power? Oh, may you feel in that moment something of the majesty and the greatness of that sovereign King who did speak to your soul. Did this bring you as the dust, into the dust as a worm and no man? Did it humble you? And did it bring you to say with that Mephibosheth, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Did that give you to hope in God? Did it give you to love him? Did it give that your heart may go out after him with longings, with hungerings, with thirstings? Oh, did it give you a desire to magnify and to glorify his holy name? And can you no longer believe it? Must you say, "I think it was all of my own imagination"? Why? It is not yet fulfilled, and the circumstances, they are stacking up against its fulfillment. Does it become more and more impossible? So that you have to conclude that it is your own work and that you have deceived yourself. And that you are hardly able anymore to lay it even before the Lord, because you say it did never come from him. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Yes, it took a long time. Yes, it became impossible. And she could not see anymore how that it could be fulfilled. And yet, the Lord did it. Why? Because he could not do otherwise. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good if the Lord has spoken? Then indeed the Lord will visit you as he said. And he will do unto you as he has spoken. His promise that is just as sure as the fulfillment. Even if you have to wait till you are 100 years old. If it tarry, the Lord says, wait for it will surely come and it will not tarry. there is more at stake than your welfare. What is at stake? The honor and the glory of His own name. And therefore, that day is coming that it is also going to be said of you, though you cannot see it, as it was said of Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. And then you will magnify and you will glorify His name forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember Thy people. Lord, by nature we will not believe, but Thou knowest Thy people. They cannot believe, though they have a desire to believe it. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. And wilt Thou strengthen Thy own church. Bring us safely to our homes. And wilt Thou forgive our many sins in speaking and in listening. Crown Thy own word with Thy blessing. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 304 stanzas 2, 4, 5, and 6. His saints delight to search and trace His mighty works and wondrous ways, majestic glory, boundless grace, and righteousness His work displays. 2, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 304. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.